There is no matter. There is only mind. Hard matter is only an illusion created by the manifestation of an intention of a creative consciousness. Any primordial subatomic particle that in turn will form progressively more complex structures is just a node of a standing wave that comes from the harmonic of a frequency. This harmonic is generated by the attention or concentration point of the attention of the consciousness. From the most minute and simple to the largest and most complex, everything is the product of a great consciousness that, fragmented in a holographic way, manages to have a point of attention in everything. There is no time. Everything is and everything happens simultaneously. It is only the progression of the attention of a consciousness that animates the static, giving an illusion of elapsed time. In the same way, not only time is an illusion, distance and separation are also illusion. There is no here and there is no there. It is only the idea of having a separate point of attention that gives rise to the illusion of separation, therefore the illusion of having a distance. Matter does not exist as such. It is only the perception of a consciousness that creates it. Its solidity is only a mirage and is only perceived as such from one point of view, point of attention, and not from another. From one mental frequency, something is solid, but from another mental frequency, it is not. A mental frequency is nothing more than an existential plane. It is an idea, and an idea is a frequency. The entire universe is a great illusory matrix. A great idea imagined both individually and collectively by countless billions of holographic fragments of the whole, of the great final consciousness, great total consciousness, the so-called original source. The universe is an idea imagined by the original source. An object is a node or point, and each point or node in a frequency within a field of potential energy is being sustained by its own harmonic of a frequency, and that is nothing more than the attention that is had on that place or point, the creative consciousness being either individual or collective. Although in itself there is never a purely individual consciousness, it is always the result of the sum of more of other consciousnesses. Even what we call individual consciousness, our concept of I, our concept of ego, is formed by several fragments of consciousness attention of ourselves and of the ideas that other consciousnesses have about ourselves. It is also the result of the consciousness set in different planes from us, both from higher planes, where we are the shadow of something else, something more complex, interpreted by a simpler existential plane, as well as we are the result of the conjunction of individual consciousnesses of inferior planes. We could interpret it in that we are the sum of the set of tiny consciousnesses coming from the perception of our individual selves, since they affect us in our way of feeling and in our way of interpreting what we call the external world. This happens in very complex ways, but the simplest example would be that we feel good if our bodies are okay. But if we have a set of cells that do not feel good for whatever reason, then we will not feel good either. Yes, cells affect our perception of the outside world, illusorily outside. Every time we have a fantasy, something imagined, it is a projection towards the future, because it is that imaginary idea that guides us towards what we will do next. Without imagination, there would be no future. The imagination is to access those more advanced existential planes where what we imagine already exists, no matter how complex and impossible it can be at first sight. You cannot live in the now, strictly speaking, as many spiritual masters ask you, for the now perceived by our consciences is always the result of something already in the past. To really live in the now means thinking in alpha, which is the creative state of consciousness. Having full imaginative awareness of a plan for the future is important, but not as much as being able to live in an imaginative creative state in alpha, thus managing to establish our consciousness working only a few moments ahead of what we experience as now. We could also define living in the alpha consciousness state as living intuitively. Although our perception of reality as individuals with illusory material bodies dictates to us in the form of empirical experience that there is a here and there, this could only be applied to the navigation of a stellar ship in subluminar flight. This is below the speed of light. In this form of navigation or travel through a space between two places, you can use a traditional star map where the constellations appear, in them the stars and planets with the distances between them, traditionally measured by you as astronomical units, AU. That is the average distance between the Earth and the Sun. And for long distances, a light year, or the distance that light travels in a year. These forms of navigation and distance calculation only represent an interpretative concept from the point of view of the third dimension where the Earth is at this moment. Although the UA, or astronomical units, are useful for short distances, a light year will not be useful depending on a variable factor that is time. In long interstellar distances, AUs are useless because they are a very small distance value. Since the speed of light is a variable factor, the result of distance calculation will only be relative to the place, the circumstances, and the consciousness, whether individual or collective, that is measuring it. Even with calculations in a completely automatic way, the results are always variable. The measurement of large distances per light years is only used in a referential way, but it is far from perfect. We can only measure the speed of light within the place or parameters known to us and in our immediate surroundings, not knowing the real values that it will have in other places or circumstances. Being that we can only estimate or do an approximate calculation how light will behave within the framework of our previous experience when passing through these places. This leads to the need to create a map or approximation plan of light velocity values depending on each location, generally by quadrant or a set of frequented constellations. But it will always be an approximation, however accurate the measurement instruments may be. As the total speed of light is variable, it is not reliable to describe large distances, and as I said before, it is only used as a reference here for your understanding. I will use the terms subluminar, speed lower than that of light, and supraluminar, higher than the speed of light. As synonymous with the supraluminar flight, I will also use the term warp later, where one warp would be equivalent to one light factor. I use them only as humanized names for your better understanding, because you are already more familiar with that terminology thanks to your science fiction films, and not as terminology customary for my race. The starships of the Taygeta race, like those of any other similar race, do not measure distances at light speeds for the reasons described above. What we use are muon factors, or the transmission speed of an energy wave at lepton-muon frequencies known on Earth as neutrino, from the Greek leptos, small or thin. Although the concept of muon changes quite a lot between human and Taygetan science by containing a mass in the first definition and an etheric potential in the second one that also recognizes or observes its predilection for being a wave that travels just at the point or edge between what we could call the material world and the etheric world. Being similar to the photon, the muon, as recognized in Taygeta, is both a wave and a particle simultaneously. In other words, the muons are semi-etheric and affect both the material and etheric worlds. The muons travel to factors comparable to thousands of light factors. And for the Taygetan science, they have more in common with the particle of the tachyon type than with a photon, and its transmission is almost instantaneous. It is this small delay of the almost that is useful to us to measure speeds and distances, since it is also more precise, but never perfect. And even if its speed varies depending on the circumstances, it is satisfactorily accurate to be used in interstellar navigation. Using muon-tachyon factors in the measurement of speeds or distances also frees us from using many zeros or decimals as we would have to do in light factors. It should be mentioned here that the encoded transmission of muons is the form of transmission of data and communication live or in real time between friend civilizations who are even several constellations of distance apart, making possible the interaction and conversation in real time between two people in two distant planets, separated by several hundred or thousands of light years, or communication between a starship and its base planet, even at enormous distances, even with the ship in full supraluminar travel. This is because the muons travel not in the measurable space in the material world, but they travel through the etheric world, where distances do not really exist as such. Muons coding is done by alternating the TAU and anti-TAU qualities of the transmission. This is muons or neutrons of the TAU type and their counterparts of opposite charge or with antimatter qualities. TAU, anti-TAU coding. Types of starship engines. I will not define here all the existing types of starship engines. I will only define those used by Taygeta most commonly. For subluminar flight, usually two are used. 1. Gravity manipulation engines, and 2. Reaction engines by plasma jet. This class of engines are only useful for short distances or for precision maneuvers inside and outside the atmosphere of a planet. They are also used to travel interplanetary distances and never used to travel the great interstellar distances. For interstellar flight, we use toroidal total immersion engines that are a function of a jet electromagnetic plasma engines. Plasma jet in total toroidal immersion mode. I will describe its operation in detail in the second part of this writing. Star map by frequencies. For the sublunar flight in short interplanetary distances, it is not necessary more than to know the map as one would think it would be, with positions of destinies and planets. Distances coordinate in a three-dimensional plan, that is, knowing how to read a three-dimensional map in X, Y, and Z coordinates, regularly presented to the crew in the form of a large, ultra-detailed hologram. But this way of expressing a map will not be useful at the moment in which our ship enters supraluminar flight mode or warp, because as you will see below, all the rules change radically. In the absence of matter as such, the universe only existing as a result of the manifestation of a consciousness in the form of standing waves within a sea of potential energy called ether, everything that exists is summarized in a soup of frequencies within said potential energy. To make a stellar map in a comprehensible and useful way for the supraluminar flight mode, we must forget about the normal three-dimensional stellar maps. As we increase our speed and get closer to that of light, we progressively lose accuracy and precision in our three-dimensional stellar maps. When reaching the speed of light and above, the three-dimensional stellar maps lose precision completely and therefore their usefulness, because at those speeds it is impossible to detect anything outside the ship. You cannot detect its position within a map X, Y, Z. This if we could reach those speeds, staying on the same existential plane from which we started. Accelerating a ship with mass would cause a progressively larger resistance to progress. Increasing speed also creates a drag impossible to overcome by the same force generated by conventional motors. This is explained in Einstein's theory of relativity and partly correct. As I mentioned before, the universe itself is a matrix of frequencies. For the Taygetan science, as for that of most similar races, this is not only a proven fact, but it is also exploitable or manipulable, being able to artificially modify its structure. To navigate at speeds higher than the speed of light, we must think differently. We should no longer think of maps with distances and positions, nor in motion vectors. We must think of primordial vibratory frequencies only. A primordial vibratory frequency is one that defines the oscillations of the subatomic components that make up the matter itself. It is the speed or frequency between each cycle of depolarization between the etheric field and the world or material plane, in the sequence 1-2-4-8-7-5/369, already described in Mechanics of Manifestation. To form an idea of what a stellar map by frequency is like, we must know that each location or place, like the Earth, for example, has a specific and irreplaceable frequency that defines it in the space-time that we call the primordial or universal matrix. In the case of the Earth, that specific frequency is very similar to its Schumann resonance, which is officially based on the frequency of 7.83 Hz and is intimately related to this resonance. Each planet has its own oscillatory frequency, although the term Schumann resonance refers only to the Earth. We could say that each planet and each place in the universe has its own Schumann resonance, although I only mention it as an explanation. That is, each point in the universe has a specific and unique frequency for that place. To make a star map based on frequencies, we must order the frequencies in their numerical representation form and register them in our database. For example, the Earth would be 7.83 Hz, Mars 13.5 Hz, Venus 221.23 Hz, Jupiter 183.58 Hz, base frequencies only. Any point in space will also have its own specific and unrepeatable frequency. In Tai Geta, we do not measure the oscillations of matter in hertz, but in cycles, or Z-easy units. Then if 1 hertz equals 1.894 Z-easy, then we convert 7.83 Hz from Earth, multiplying 7.83 by 1.894, and that equals to 14.83002 Z-easy. The Earth, in the stellar maps, will have the base frequency 14.83002 Z-easy. Mars 25.569 Z-easy, Venus 419.00962 Z-easy, and Jupiter 347.70052 Z-easy, or Z-easy units. At Z-easy represents the accepted average of the most primordial vibrational frequency of matter in fifth density. The base is the vibratory frequency of the element hydrogen at absolute zero in interstellar space. 1 Z-easy is equivalent to 1 cycle per unit of time, and as the reference base of said unit of time, the perspective of the temporary duration of the crew of the ship taking the measurement will be taken. Unit SIT, or duration of unit of time inside the ship. This means that at Z-easy cannot be completely accurate. However, it is enough to allow calculations to effectively guide a starship, even with small variations, which a crew will have to compensate in other ways during or after each trip if necessary. We must remember that time is relative to each consciousness and is never a constant. At absolute zero, there is no molecular movement. So the temperature is measured as zero, or absence of molecular movement. And this temperature, the vibratory frequency, still persists at the subatomic level. The frequency or oscillation of ZZ of any place is the result of the sum and interaction of all other frequencies interacting with that place. Everything that exists in the universe is connected to each other by the same super frequencies that oscillate within a single medium, that is the ether, and the ether is pure consciousness. Ether is the original source. The mass and complexity of a specific object in the universe is the result of the accumulation of attention that this place receives from the original source, or ether. The more attention you receive, the greater your mass, that is the same as the higher energy concentration. The reason why some object receives more attention will depend on the interaction it has with the other objects that surround it, since everything is interconnected. This applies to anything from large star objects, such as suns or planets, to small things like a coin, a key, a nut, and even subatomic particles. Every object in particular has a purpose, and in turn is part of a larger object, that in turn is part of an even greater object, and so on until it reaches the whole, the universe, or the original source. Everything that exists is for a reason, and nothing is fortuitous or accidental within the universal primordial matrix. In a stellar map by frequencies in ZEZ units, or in its abbreviation DZ, the more decimals the number has, the greater the precision with which you describe a position within the universe. So for Earth, the frequency number 14.83002 DZ would be the planet itself as a whole. If we add more decimals, 14.83002845 2, we have more detail to include the frequency 0.00000845 2 that describes the European continent. And so the star position 14.83002845 2700 and so on tells us 14.8300 is a land, 8452 European continent, 700532 France, 5100688 Paris, 71200206 Eiffel Tower, 89821030 Restaurant, 73800732101 Table 4. And with more decimals, we can represent which plate on the table and which grain of rice inside the plate, or even each individual molecule. Each object with mass within the primordial matrix universe has its own specific and exact frequency. The secret is to know what is its specific frequency and enter it in a coherent database. And this is achieved using advanced equipment and sensors. In the case of Earth, Europe, France, Paris, if we have recorded the frequency 14.83002, etc. ZEZ, it is all we need to guide our ship to that specific location. It should be noted that the DZ frequencies are not coordinates, since they would only serve us within a conventional three-dimensional stellar map for guiding ships at subluminous speeds or lower than that of light. With a DZ guiding frequency factor map, we eliminate the need to introduce too much unnecessary data to our navigation computer, making it unnecessary to enter data from larger locations, as would the exact specific frequency of the entire solar system be too large anyway. Also, when approaching Paris with the Eiffel Tower restaurant as destination, it is not necessary to enter all the precise DZ sequence that I have set as an example above, since it is only necessary to arrive in Paris with the ship, descend from the supraluminar mode, and then navigate there by conventional X, Y, Z coordinates, or simply by turning around looking for the destination with our eyes in a natural way. In itself, in everyday use, it is customary to leave the supraluminar mode in the vicinity of the Earth and then navigate by normal coordinates. This also depends on the size and mass of each ship, the large ones needing more free space to maneuver. In summary, each place in the universe will have its own specific unrepeatable frequency as address or identity. And this is the result of the sum and interaction with other frequencies around it. The sum that corresponds to the specific frequency of each place is the result of the amount of attention it receives from a consciousness or sum of consciousnesses. This comes directly from the ether or the original source, combining it with the sum of fractal consciousnesses of the same original source. This is of individuals inhabiting a place, being these parts of the same original source. As it happens in any potential energy medium for solid objects to be inside it, it is necessary to create standing waves, where said solid objects are formed in the nodes of said standing waves. To create them, we need a frequency harmonic, or otherwise the mechanics of the creation of a node or point of manifestation of matter would be impossible. Said harmonic frequency will always come in the form of mathematically perfect geometry, as has already been described in previous works. So the direction or location of a specific place in DZ units will always correspond to predictable and ordered mathematical geometric fractals, generating a matrix of ordered and studiable information that is the same as the energetic web that the universal matrix makes or manifests in its physical form. Bearing in mind that everything is connected to each other and that a frequency of a specific place as its direction in the universe is closely related and interconnected with all others, also depending on the others in the form of mathematical geometric sequence, the direction of an unknown place using DZ factors coupled to a harmonic frequency is now predictable and pre-calculable. This allows to navigate a ship within the soup of existing frequencies, mostly unknown, only knowing the interaction between the frequencies of a place. This is only knowing the harmonic of the frequency that controls or dominates over a specific space sector. A harmonic of a frequency in stellar navigation is an orderly succession of frequencies in mathematical geometric forms that are generating the mass that composes the stellar object within a sector in space. That harmonic frequency is the same as music. It must be perfect, or the stationary wave that forms all matter will collapse. Any dissonance in the music that composes it will nullify the whole system and the dynamics of its creation. In this case, what would happen if there was an error in the harmonic of the frequency programmed in the onboard computer is that it would cause a navigation error, resulting in a ship descending from hyperspace at the moment it dictates or at the moment the dissonance occurs and before arriving at destination. This usually occurs in deep space and would cause the crew to have to rethink the navigation parameters and calculations before proceeding with the trip, but it would not result in anything catastrophic. The sequence to be followed in the form of a flight path for a supraluminar flight craft is a succession of intimately related frequencies placed in an orderly manner, music. In an audible way, the harmonic of the frequency of a trajectory of a ship is heard as a succession of different but concordant and related tones. It sounds like a specific tune. The more complex this musical tune is, the more precise the maneuvers to be followed by the ship will be, because the greater the complexity, the greater the details, which is the same as the more information that it will take in a course destination, points along the way, exact ones as described above in the illustration of the Eiffel Tower restaurant. With a very elaborate frequency harmonic, the auditory interpretation sounds like a whole and very complex symphony, but a series of sounds like a basic tune will often be enough to change course of a ship or make the ship understand which frequency harmonic it needs to reach the destination. So a single sequence or tune is enough to have the necessary data to guide a ship back home. The tune and its data as frequencies are contrasted with the database or stellar map of frequencies, and the computer will establish the course and destination. Think of the universe, space and the galaxy with all the suns, planets and other stellar bodies it contains, not as in material objects, but as in units of frequency, interpreted with numerical values in dz units. Each stellar body has its own frequency, that is the result not only of itself and of the consciousnesses that generated with their attention, but it is also the result of the interaction it has among all the other stellar bodies when everything is interconnected. The more mass the object has, the more attention of a consciousness it receives. Therefore, the higher its value in units dz. See or imagine the universe as only composed of vibratory frequencies, interpreted with and as a numerical sequence. Now, think of a sheet of paper filled with numbers, as an example. This represents a galactic sector. The numbers of nomenclature or low value represent small stellar bodies, zeros, 0.0000, or numbers with very small decimals as 0.00000232 represent places in space with little mass per cubic unit, only traces of elements, mainly hydrogen and helium or particles of dust. The large numerical units represent from asteroids to planets and suns. As already mentioned above, the higher the numerical value, the larger the object, or the greater the mass. So at first glance, just by looking at the numbers on our sheet of paper, we can see and understand where the objects of great mass are. The numerical value of the empty space, but close to the object with a high mass, despite having virtually nothing there, will also have a higher value than the equivalent in deep space, falling numerically progressively as we move away from the object of great mass. This can be interpreted in part as the phenomenon of curvature of space in Einstein's theory of relativity, which, although mostly erroneous, has small valid points, but misinterpreted as this one is. Space does not curve, as Einstein says. It is only consciousness that apparently distorts the fabric or spatial numerical grid. It is only the mind that curves. So far, I have spoken of a numerical map that interprets specific frequencies to each place. This would represent a spatial sector. But it is not dynamic. It has fixed and non-animated values like a photograph. But the universe is not like that. It is dynamic and always changing, where the only thing that is a constant is change. Now imagine a stack of papers, each one on top of another, and each one filled with numbers that are equivalent to specific numbers on the sheets of paper that precede it, but with a slight increase or decrease in value that is progressive among more sheets of paper. Each sheet would represent a fixed moment in time, and the sheets stacked on top of each other would represent a progression in time, which is the movement of the frequencies representing objects. The sheet immediately below our base sheet will be the previous moment in time, and the next sheet the next moment. The further a specific sheet from our first base sheet is, the further away it will be in the past or in the future. But all the sheets are fixed, and they just are, as is the whole stack. It is only the consciousness of an observer who will have the attention to follow the progression of the numerical value of a particular object that will animate or give meaning and interpretation to a progression of fixed frequencies of said object in question. When traveling in supraluminar mode, not only should the computer be given the address of the destination as a frequency, it should also be given the data of when we should arrive at destination. In our example with the stack of papers, the destination 14.83002 DZ, Earth, will only be one of the parameters to be entered, data bilh in Tibetan, equivalent to a position within a grid of our sheet of paper. The next data to enter in our computer will be when, data na'al in Tibetan. That will represent the moment in time of the Earth where the ship will reach its destination, represented here as in which sheet of paper we wish to arrive. As you can see, the interstellar flight at supraluminar mode is equivalent to travel in time. All starship with supraluminar capability is by definition a time machine, and it is just as easy for it to reach its destination on any day, present, future, or past. It does not represent any extra difficulty for the ship to reach its destination in the distant past or distant future of any destination. It is only one more piece of direction data interpreted with Na'al and Bilh factors that use ZEZ or DZ units. There is a third factor to introduce to the navigation computer, the Ho-De-Za factor, that can be translated into English as parallax, although the meaning does differ a bit. This factor will give the navigation computer the data from which direction a ship should approach the destination when it descends from the hyperspace or supraluminar flight. Bilh is equivalent to the where, which position within the common numerical grid of all the paper sheets. Na'al is equivalent to the when, in which particular sheet of the whole stack the position of the objective is, where and when to arrive at destination. Ho-De-Za, from which direction we will arrive. The fact that interstellar flight at speeds greater than light is equivalent to traveling in time immediately means that a crew has the ability to alter a timeline, to return to the past to prevent things, or to travel to the future to see what happens. Although there are no paradoxes in time, a subject that I will write in depth later, even so, it means a great responsibility of moral character and personal integrity for all crew, and with all the knowledge that entails in matters of non-intervention and consequences of any intervention towards any race or even towards themselves. This is not to be taken lightly, and is one of the reasons why not just any race with any level of spiritual and moral advancement has, nor should it have, the capability of supraluminar interstellar speed flight. You cannot navigate at speeds close to those of light, much less at speeds higher than light, thinking with concepts and three-dimensional maps, as I said. you should think in terms of frequencies only. And thinking in terms of frequencies here means knowing that they are generated and exist by the interaction of a creative consciousness. This means that you cannot navigate or access at near and higher speeds of light without entering the terrain of the nature of consciousness and spirituality and understanding reality in depth. For interstellar flight at supraluminar speeds, it is necessary, as a major and irreplaceable component, to have a high degree of spiritual development, both personally and on the part of the crew, as well as of the whole civilization that has developed the technology and sufficient understanding to achieve it. With a 3D thought, based on materialism, as it happens with the science of the Earth, it is simply impossible. In the second part of this paper, I will describe how a starship works, its anatomy, the anatomy of the hyperspace, and how it is possible to cross great distances. Svaru.